of Jesus in the Gospels. And in our church year, the final chapter began, of course, with Easter, where the resurrection shocked us and delighted us. And then came the great 50 days when Jesus appears again and again to his disciples. And during this time at the ascension, after 40 days, Jesus is taken up into heaven, promising to send his Spirit to lead and fill us. And last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost as the disciples, along with us, waited in fear and trembling for our next move. The Holy Spirit tracked us down, filled us, and empowered us to be the church in the world. And now here we sit a week later, and it seems that all the drama has unfolded and all the big stories and all the major movements of Easter are behind us. The miracles of the empty tomb, the angels announcing that Jesus has ascended and gone up, the wind and the flame and the tongues of Pentecost have subsided, and we dust ourselves off, standing in the middle of the town square or the street corner or the office or the classroom or the rec hall or the hospital or wherever we find ourselves as a disciple of Jesus, looking down that road, looking to our future with him. We believe and we have witnessed all that has happened. We know and we hold on to the promise of resurrection. We receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this Sunday, before we go, we hear once again the familiar words at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. There you have it, friends, our marching orders, our job description, our mission statement. Call it what you want. These are Matthew's last words of Jesus spoken in his gospel. And we hold them, we receive them, we want to follow Jesus and obey joyfully and without reservation. But at the very same time, we are overwhelmed, shaking in our boots at the immensity of such a commission. And despite all the promises, how utterly unequipped and ill-prepared we feel. Even after witnessing such an amazing story, we are unsure, we are afraid, we don't know where to begin. This Sunday, then, it may help us to take a closer look at these words of Jesus at the end of Matthew and think more intentionally about what it is that Jesus is actually asking us to do in the words of this great but also terrifying commission. We Christians here, who have been part of the church for a while, will have heard these words repeated in various places and contexts. We know them well. They are a call to mission direct from Jesus' mouth to our ears. So we have no choice but to pay attention. This doesn't mean, however, that many of us have a clear understanding about what this call expects from us. Rarely do we dwell with these words and seek a clearer picture of what Jesus' command is about. I want to do that this morning, and I want to do that by focusing on what I believe are the four key phrases in this passage. Number one, go therefore. Number two, make disciples. Number three, baptize in the name of the Trinity. And number four, I am with you always. So we begin. Go therefore. Therefore, go. Therefore is a critical word, actually, because in grammar, therefore is a word that always points backwards, back to what came before. Because something is the way it is, therefore, you fill in the blanks. And today Jesus says, because something has happened before, I want you to go. To go now. But on what basis? Jesus says in the previous verse, he says, go because I have given all authority in heaven and earth. I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Go then in my name and with my credentials and my power and my authority behind you. So do you see, disciples? You have friends in high places. This tiny word, therefore, should fill all of us disciples with great confidence. We are not short on resources. Besides, who among us would dare to take one step out of this door with such an incredible and unbelievable message unless we were sure that Jesus is Lord and running the mission? Jesus has all authority. Therefore, and only therefore, we go. And the second word is go. A more accurate translation could be move out. Get out of here. Get going. At its heart and core, you see, Christianity is a message. And messages aren't for keeping. Messages are for telling. Last week, we heard again the marvel of Pentecost. The disciples hiding in the upper room are filled with the Spirit and sent out. There was no orientation seminar first. There wasn't a semester at discipleship school. There was no course outline to memorize. There was no reading list to finish. There was no final exam to pass. Jesus doesn't wait for us to be ready. He calls us to move out from the get-go. Jesus simply says, go. Go, because you have my authority to go, and you have my companionship to speak and love through you. That's all he offers. And we can only pray, Lord, help us to hold on and take you at your word and go. The second phrase today is make disciples. Now, if that name disciple has felt for you a rather uncomfortable fit, it may be that you're simply overthinking the word a little bit. To disciple means simply to make students of, or to bring to school, or in modern English, to mentor, to apprentice. Disciple is a slow verb, different than any other missionary verbs like preach or convert or save or win. Dale Bruner is very helpful in the way that he describes the intent of this misunderstood verb. He says the word disciple pictures students sitting around a teacher more than it does penitents kneeling at an altar. It is an educational process more than an evangelistic crisis. It is a school more than a revival. The word disciple says, in effect, work with people over a period of time in the simple process of teaching Jesus. He continues by saying that only Christ himself, only Christ can do the big things like convert or win or bring repentance. All authority is his and his alone. Disciples will do the little thing of discipling others. That is, they will spend time with people in the confidence that sooner or later, the Lord Jesus, with all his authority, will create in some of these people the decision to follow Jesus. Friends of Jesus making friends for Jesus. Friends of Jesus making friends for Jesus. Students of Jesus looking around every corner for more students to welcome into the classroom. We who have been embraced by the love of our Lord, loving our neighbor, our friend, stranger, enemy, as we have been loved. Go, therefore, and make disciples. That's what we're called to do. The third phrase today, baptizing into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus gets very specific in his commission at this point. He calls for much more from potential disciples than that they merely consider or ponder or reflect or even make an intellectual, heartfelt decision. He calls for a concrete action. He calls for baptism, a concrete physical drowning, dunking that we believe joins us to the triune God, the divine Trinity, who we celebrate this Sunday. And that little phrase in the middle is important. Into the name of. Baptize into the name of. That comes from the world of banking, believe it or not, and literally means to the account of or into the possession of. We who were once in bondage to sin, death, and the devil, through our baptism are transferred into the arms of a new owner. We are bound to Jesus, who leads the way to fellowship with the Father and the Spirit. When we are baptized, as Carter and Claire were this morning, we come under new management. We are transferred to a new company, so to speak. In a recent poll on religious practices in Canada, the news was not surprising. Less and less people identify with a specific church, more and more identify themselves simply as spiritual. And I certainly understand the appeal of spiritual. Because if I am spiritual, I can pick and choose the God that I follow. I can accept what suits me and reject what makes me uncomfortable or demands too much from me. Spiritual travelers jump on the wagon or the ship or the cloud, whatever euphemism you choose, and they set out on a grand journey to the divine as they define it. But all the time, their hands are firmly on the steering wheel. Those who consider themselves part of the spiritual category would have a lot of trouble with Jesus' words today, because he says, I want you to go and I want you to baptize in a name, a very specific name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, through our linking with this name, a very different story is told. A very different God is revealed than this unknown God far off in the clouds, this mysterious other so far, far away, who sits up in who knows where, hands crossed, looking down at this pathetic, tiny mass of humanity, wondering how many of us will finally get our spiritual act together enough to find this God. That may be how the spiritual journey looks to many, but it is not our story. Not at all. It is not our story. You see, our story is the story of the Trinity. And in the Trinity, we meet a God who does not wait for us up in the clouds to find our way to the holy, but a God who came to us, a God who descended to us, to our level, a God who came down looking for us in the person of Jesus, a God whose love could do no other. The name of the Trinity matters because it keeps the cross at the center of the story. So when you and I invite a new brother or sister to baptism, we do not invite them into a vague, unfocused spiritual odyssey with themselves at the steering wheel, a journey with final destination unknown. Quite the opposite. When we baptize, it is, as Dale Bruner again points out, we immerse them into the companionship of the Father, the education of the Son, and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And the final phrase today is really a promise, a mighty and wonderful promise. Jesus says, I am with you always, to the end of the age. There is no doubt about it. Speaking of Jesus, making disciples in his name, calling the world to baptism is an overwhelming call. We are given a lot to do. We are given an impossible job description. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach. When Jesus sends us out today, he knows with whom he's dealing. We are the same broken, sinful, self-centered, doubting disciples. What matters today, though, are the two promises that surround our job, the two rock-solid assurances that bookend our Lord's commission. At the beginning, Jesus says, all authority belongs to me. And at the end, he says, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Here's our promise, and our life as a disciple is in the middle between these two promises. If Jesus is with us now, and if Jesus says he will be with us at the very end, then we can endure the tribulations in which we now live. We can love, we can serve, we can make disciples, we can teach and baptize. Why? Because Jesus will be at the center right up to the end. And that means we will make it. We can count on it. Because we can count on Him, it means we will make it, friends. In the meantime, what is there to do but go? Go, therefore. Therefore, go. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.